Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Mike, good morning.
Guys, how are you?
Good.
Doing well.
We were talking a little bit about you had some good stuff in your story that just came out on dognation.com, and we were talking about Cortez Hankton and what he had said about the receivers, and Georgia's the only school that's had five selected in the draft, one selected in the draft in each of the last 5 years. And we were talking about that was a good Heisman poll, too, there between Fromm and Swift. And I was just kind of saying, hey, if Fromm wins the Heisman, that's unbelievable. I mean, that's fantastic. But if Swift wins the Heisman, that means you've really done something spectacular. I say as a team, Georgia, that might bode well more for Georgia if Swift won the Heisman over Fromm. But either one would be absolutely terrific. What is your take on how all that works?
Hey, Georgia's got to be undefeated for either one of those guys to win the Heisman. It's possible they could both be in New York. I mean, it happened back in the day with USC and Leinart and Reggie Bush. And, you know, the question for me is if DeAndre Swift can stay healthy. I that's the only question is will DeAndre have, the health to get through an entire – it's a 15-game season now when you go to college football playoff. Now, when the Heisman vote takes place, you'll be 12 games in, but – and look, Georgia's not going to give the ball to DeAndre Swift 30 times a game. He's not going to get 30 touch games. It's not going to happen. Number one, it doesn't have to, because there's so many other weapons, and a big part of Georgia's offense is balance and using different weapons and being hard to prepare for. But he's a dynamic enough athlete that when he does touch the ball, he can take five or six to the house next year. And when I say to the house, I mean, I think he'll score more touchdowns than that. But I'm talking about runs of over 30 and 40 yards. Swift is a home run hitter like few others. And if he's healthy, he can do some pretty dynamic things in a Reggie Bush kind of way.
Let's just remember, the last two running backs to win the Heisman, though, went to Alabama. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about the comparison potentially of these teams, and I know it's different with what you're trying to do. We're talking about Derrick Henry and we're talking about Mark Ingram, but this has become a quarterback's trophy. And the last two running backs to win, so Alabama had gone all this time over all these years without ever winning a Heisman, and now it's funny that the last two running backs to win it played at Alabama. So, does it mean anything? No. Is it kind of interesting? Yeah, certainly so. But I agree with you guys. I mean, with all the weapons and the way Georgia likes to use the running backs, this could you would have a greater chance of a Fromm winning the Heisman Trophy than Swift. But if Swift did win it, that would say a whole lot. What is, we're talking about the receivers, too, and before we got you on here, we were talking about how there's going to be one guy in this receiving core that's going to just have kind of this year where it's kind of eyebrow-raising. Maybe Holloman was that guy a little bit last year, but don't you feel George is going to be one of those schools and have one of those receiving core where there might be one or two guys that are like, whoa, did not see that coming, but it was really, really good?
Well, I think the people that follow Georgia will see it coming. Now, people on the outside, to your point, I mean, especially when you consider Georgia lost four of their top five pass catchers from a year ago, right? So the J.J. Holloman is the guy coming back with double-digit catches. But other than that, I think that some of the other guys would be surprising. I mean, Demetrius Robertson, he didn't do a whole lot last year. I think he's a guy that could have a potential breakout year. I know he's gotten stronger and bigger, and he's learned to do the kind of blocking that Kirby insists on at the receiver position. He plays special teams. Tyler Simmons is a potential breakout guy. This guy's a flyer. He played half of last year wearing a shoulder harness under his pads. I can't even believe the guy was playing in games, but he is tough, and he is fast, and he is a burner. Guys, I went to South Florida and met Lawrence Cager. I spent an afternoon with him. This guy is big. He's legit, and he's on the NFL radar. You don't meet many 6'4" guys with a 40-inch vertical jump. Now, he had a knee injury a few years back, but he's all the way back from that knee now. And this is a make-or-break year for Cager. There's a reason Georgia went down there and signed him. Okay, they don't bring guys in to play if they don't think they're going to get off the bench. He's grad transferred. Because that hurts you two ways. It hurts you in this year's class and next year's class. So, you know, and Eli Wolf is a guy that, you know, a year ago, Tennessee's bringing him to SEC Media Day. He's a leading receiver in their spring game in 2018. So there's some outside guys coming in that, in addition to J.J., could have big seasons and would be candidates for those sort of years like you're talking about. But the way Jake's going to spread it around and the way that these Georgia running backs can catch the ball out of the backfield, I mean, don't forget about Cook. That guy, there's another home run hitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, Georgia has guys all over the field that could take it to the house.
Now, Mike, conversely, in your article we're referencing here, your conversation with David Pollack talked a little bit about the defense, cited some question marks. He specifically said, you know, losing DeAndre Baker to the NFL, he was very dominant, but we're not sure who can step in and take that role. Now, I think we're all very excited about, you know, Eric Stokes, and I mean, how will Tyson Campbell progress under year two? What are some names that you think might step in and make Georgia's secondary, you know, not miss a beat, so to speak?
I really like Stokes a lot. I thought he was great in the Missouri game when Tyson Campbell went out with the subluxation of the shoulder injury. I thought he stepped up again later in the year. I think it was the Auburn game. I think he could be poised for greatness. But it's, you know, having Baker on the other side of the field made a difference now. Baker was the shutdown guy. And Eric Stokes and Tyson Campbell have to step up. You know, I think the safety play is going to be fantastic. You know, I'm not sure there's a better safety combo than J.R. Reed and Richard LeCount back there. And I know LeCount's fighting for his job. I know there's other guys that are coming on the scene, but I really like LeCount a lot. I like how he's bulked up. I like the speed. I like the Georgia secondary. And, you know, David, again, and listen, Pollack is when it comes to opinions, I love listening to David Pollack. He's going to tell you exactly what he thinks. He's not going to take his foot off the gas. That's why he's one of the best commentators out there. And I'm not want to question too much. I feel better about the secondary than Pollack does. And I think I feel a little better about the linebacking core just because of the level of competition, because of the amount of depth. Because I think that Nolan Smith and the N'Kobe Dean, I think they're different, okay? Mm-hmm. I think they're impact players that I don't know if I'm not ready to say they're Roquan Smith, but I think these are guys that have big-time star potential that are going to have an impact in the meeting room and push the competition ahead of them. I think Monty Rice mm-hmm. is poised to have a breakout year.
You were on with BA recently on Dog Nation Daily. I think you specifically said that when DeAndre Walker went down against Alabama, all of a sudden Georgia's relying on, I guess it was true freshman Brenton Cox in the SEC championship game, and that Jalen Hurts was essentially able to just pick him apart because he wasn't ready to be on that kind of stage. What are we expecting in terms of jump from the Brenton Coxes, the Adam Andersons, Zizo Zolari's another name on that edge, that there will no longer be true freshmen, but they've been in the system for well over a year now?
Oh, well, I say you step up or you step out. I mean, the competition's here, man. You know, Brenton Cox might be a defensive end if he doesn't win his outside linebacker job. Not that that's an insult. I mean, you know, but he was kind of a borderline guy size-wise, and you know, quite frankly, you know, when the bell rang last year, Brenton Cox didn't step up. It's just the way it is. Nobody wants to hear that, okay? I don't come on your show to bash these guys, but this is big-time football at Georgia. That was a championship game. You know, the year before, a safety blew an assignment, and it cost Georgia the national championship. You know, last year, Brenton Cox lost contain on Hurts more than once, and it cost Georgia the SEC title. It is what it is. That's football. It's a cruel game. It boils down. We saw it last night in baseball, right? Auburn third baseman, okay? It happens. And your job is to be prepared and ready when your number's called. And coaches talk about it all the time. And teammates try to prepare you. We saw Walker talking to Cox last year after he lost contain earlier in the year. And Cox wanted to fight him instead of listening, okay? And then at the end of the year, it comes back and it bites him because he still doesn't understand containment. That cost Georgia the SEC title game, all right? You can say, oh, well, there's plenty of other plays. You can, sure there are, okay? But sometimes you got to make a play. And your teammates are counting on you. They're counting on you to make the play. They're counting on you to give your all in practice. They're counting on you to do the right things when you're not playing football. And if you don't do those things at Georgia, you're out, man. And I look at Brenton Cox as a guy with two strikes. I think he's a guy that's got to step up. He's capable. I think he's a good person. But he's made a couple of really costly mistakes. And so I'm going to watch him closely because I think he's going to step up or step out.
Well, it may be one of those situations where experience, things like that happen, and you learn from it, and he may make a few great plays at this time next year. We'll be talking about what he learned from the mistakes that happened the year before. I mean, that's what the college game is all about.
It is. It's brutal, though, you know. And here's where it's tough, guys, because, you know, you cover high schools. And, you know, the high school, certainly you're not going to call out a guy in high school, right? High school kids, they're learning. They're kids. You look at the NFL, you call them all out because they're making money. College is somewhere in between. But at a big-time school like Georgia, and this is a championship-level program, all right? If you talk about Alabama, you talk about Clemson, you talk about Georgia. You look at the recruiting classes. You look at the money. You look at the facilities. You look at how the players live. You look at where they come from. Big-time football. If you come to Georgia, it's part of the deal, all right? You're going to be treated like a king. Everybody's going to know your name. They're also going to know your name when you make a mistake. It all goes together, and there's a different level of accountability at a place like Georgia. This is a special place. There's only 85 scholarships. There's only so many guys. I can't give you the name, okay? But yesterday, I got a call from a friend, and I don't want to give this away, but I got a call from a friend. He said, oh, my gosh, so-and-so wants to commit. The people in this region of the country are so excited. So I call Centel. I say, hey, Jeff, man, this guy that was here this week anyway. Jeff says, I don't know if he's a take.
I know.
What? The people in his network think he may not be. Not everybody can be a Georgia Bulldog, guys.
That's right.
It's tough. If you want to be a part of this, you better be special, and you better maintain the standard because there's somebody waiting to take your job, man. That's the way it is when you're in a great job. Whether we're talking about football, whether we're talking about career-wise, if you're not on top of your game, somebody else wants your job. Let me tell you, Athens, Georgia, this is a special place. If you got a good job in Athens, Georgia, and you enjoy your job, you make a decent salary, and you love what you do, you better be on top of your game because there's a lot of people who want to move to this town and want your job. This is a great place to live. It's a great place to go to school. It's a great place to play football. You better be on top of your game.
And I've said this for a long time, and it's funny you mention it because I totally agree. They're not high school kids where they're amateurs. Where they're, you could say, learning or whatever. They're not pros where they're getting paid. They're kind of in the middle. But at the same time, there is, and you don't want to sit there and just completely bash college players if they make a mistake or that kind of thing. But at the same time, at places like Georgia, at places like Clemson, at places like Alabama, there is a level of expectation of what you should be able to do and what you shouldn't, you know, what shouldn't happen. And not that everyone makes mistakes, but I totally agree with you on this level. And it's not just football, but in the SEC, right, a lot of these sports, you know, you're treated like a king, like you said, and you're on scholarship for a reason. And if you keep making mistakes, there's going to be somebody else that's going to take your place. And that's what we're seeing here.
And I would point to the SEC network having a lot to do with it. I'll give you a great example. This year's Georgia baseball team, man. I mean, what a feel-good story. What a feel-good program. How much did anybody that went to Foley, how much did you enjoy that program? How special was it?
Yeah.
What did they lose? Three home games? Were you telling me, Dave, they lost three home games? Somebody's telling me none by more than one run or something like that.
Yeah, in the regular season, yeah, they lost three home games.
Yeah, I mean, and none by more than one run. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly, yes.
2-1-0 losses.
Incredible story. Incredible team. You know, the win against Clemson, I was there that historic night. You know, the frat guys coming down, cheering them. I mean, great story. Everybody's behind baseball, a non-revenue sport that, let's be honest, most people don't really pay attention to unless you're competing for championships. And they reached out and they grabbed us. And we were all watching, all right? And then they lost. And then they disappointed. I'm going to stop short of calling it a choke, okay, because Florida State's a pretty good team and went and beat LSU, and I think that got Georgia off the choke list. But it was a big disappointment. It was a huge disappointment. And it's almost like for these baseball players, it's like, wait a minute. A year ago, you didn't even know my name. But now I'm a disappointment. Well, yeah, because you were a hero. Because you captured everyone. Because we were all, you know, I'm working. I didn't take vacation. I think I'm supposed to be in Omaha right now, Dave. People are going to take vacations. Oh, hell no, I'm not taking vacation. I'm going to go to Omaha, cover Georgia Bay. No, I'm not. I'm going to be sitting in my apartment talking about Georgia baseball on the telephone the second week of June and the third week of June, right? So it's tough. It's tough because these guys played their butts off. They had a great season. Do you know what Georgia is now? Now Georgia's got to get rid of that Buffalo Bills thing going. This is twice now, Georgia. You haven't even gotten out of your own regional. Come on, Georgia. You're a top eight seed, man. You got to take care of business at home. You guys postseason chokers? Because that's the tag now, Dave. That's not fair. It's not fair. It's because they had a great regular season.
Well,
this is
here's
two
the thing.
Years in a row.
Whether you agree, you know, I'm not going to call them chokers, but whether you agree with that sentiment or not, I just love the fact that there's passion about it, that people care about it. I mean, that's, to me, is the main thing, is that you've actually got the fan base fired up about it. And I love that more than anything else.
That's right.
Yeah.
And when people are paying attention, you're going to get more and more opinions.
Exactly.
On it. And as I said, I didn't call them chokers this year, but there's going to be a perception. If you don't look at it closely,
I agree.
You
there
don't
is.
Understand it closely, right? And perception can overtake reality.
I totally agree. And the fun thing is you've got a good nucleus coming back next year, so there's going to be expectations as well. And I know Coach Strickland, I mean, he told us himself, you know, he was disappointed, but in the way the season ended, certainly the season itself was great, but the way it ended was terrible. But they're already ready to get another shot at it. And just the fact that there's passion about it among the fan base is just, to me, is what the most exciting thing is.
George is this close. George is this close.
Yeah.
In football, too. I mean, I do these national radio, TV shows. People, can Georgia get Alabama out of their head? They're not in their head. They're not in their head. If you watch the last two games, Georgia had the team beat, okay? There were individual breakdowns. It wasn't like Alabama went out there and just stomped Georgia. It wasn't like Georgia didn't believe they could win. It wasn't like Georgia didn't belong on the same field. They had breakdowns at key positions. You're only as good as your weakest link, all right? That's all. But people, the perception, oh, you know, boy, look at that. Saban's in Kirby. No, he's not in Kirby's head. Kirby's not out there playing safety. Kirby doesn't break that assignment. Kirby's not playing defensive end, losing contain. Kirby coaches these guys up, all right? So it's not that Alabama's in anybody's head, but perception. Perception overtakes reality. And what's really amazing and what's exciting for Georgia fans is the reason that the nation looking in is because Georgia's on the stage. Georgia is right there.
Yeah.
They are on the verge. It's hard to be a great program and still be humble. That's a very fine line to walk. But Georgia can walk it because all you got to do in that facility is say the word Alabama. That's all you got to do to remind Georgia that, hey, you're not there yet. And all you got to say to baseball is super regional. All right, you're not there yet. You're great. You had a good race, but you're humbled because you're not there. Because 1980 is still flashing over everybody's head in this town. So this is a great town. It's a competitive town. It's as good a college town as there is, and it's a hungry town. And everybody's going to do what it takes, I believe, to put Georgia atop. I think that's what's coming, guys. I think this 2019 season for football is the year. And to your point, David, I think this baseball team next year is going to be hell on wheels.
All right, Mike, hey, great stuff, Mike. We appreciate it. And by the way, look, Auburn, they went to the Final Four this year, and they're in the College World Series. There's some years where things just happen and fall into place that maybe you don't even expect it. So that's another thing there as well. Mike, have a great week. We'll catch you again on Monday.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.